Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
My best attempt at pronunciation would be Hyperbolic Syllabic Sesquidalamistic by Isaac Hayes, born on this day in 1942.
All right. So I was thinking more about our conversation yesterday and about the future of the Grizzlies and all of that, because whatever, it's in the air. We got, by the way, Sam Hardiman, folks, is coming up. I presume the podcast now is either up or about to be up over at the Daily Memphian, and we'll have Sam here on the next segment as well to get his perspective on all of this. But you asked me yesterday, or we were talking yesterday about, okay, if whether they're going to sign the lease depends on something having to do with the trajectory of the city, what is the trigger there? I forgot how you phrased it, but wasn't that the essence of the question?
There seems to be three components here. There is the whatever hurdle beyond the lease negotiation itself that is required to get the Grizzlies to sign, you know, the agreement. And then there's the agreement. And then there is the long-term, you know, health of Memphis' NBA market that would prevent the team from wanting to, you know, get out of the agreement or you know, that would extend the stay, you know, as long as possible. And so the first thing, I don't know what the first thing is. I mean, no one's ever said. So, I mean, we're all guessing.
Right. Well, no one's ever said. And in the end, it's the mind of Robert Pera, right? Like, in the, you know, that we're all sort of, and the league, well, to the extent that they have influence over this. But,
well, that's also uncertain. And I asked Sam about that in the pod, and he has no better idea than I do. But I don't know to what level the NBA as an organization, the NBA Board of Governors, the commissioner, to what degree they have any input at all in this kind of deal, you know?
So I sort of yesterday threw out the possibility that the initial decision as to whether to sign a lease, it can't be based too much on results. The city, you know, becoming something other than what it is right now, because that doesn't seem like it could happen in a year or two or whatever in the right time frame necessary. And so I wondered if it instead was, if the things were happening, the process things were happening, whether it was about policing or development around the area or whatever it was, a range of commitments and progress that would ultimately produce, that those things might be enough to get them to sign the lease. And whatever, that, again, we're just speculating here, that whatever. But here's what I actually decided. I really think whether this is short term or long term, as prosaic as it may sound, I think what's going to determine the future of the Grizzlies is attendance. Because, like, we can say crime rate, city thriving, whatever else. If a lot of people are coming through the door, it's going to feel like the team is thriving and downtown is popping and whatever else. And if a lot of people aren't, you know, if you've got only people showing up for the Lakers games and whatever else, it's going to be like, well, this is because the city is really struggling. And even though what goes into attendance has to do with a lot of things, including the competitiveness of the team, I actually think that one of the maybe it's just obvious, but one of the real factors here is going to be attendance. Is that misguided? Like, what do you make of my?
Yeah, I mean, these are related to each other. They want all the other improvements because they think that impacts their attendance, right? And so, you know, if Prime were at an all-time high and the building was selling out every night anyway,
right?
Like, you would still care about the crime, but like, you're, I mean, as a business, your ultimate goal is like, you know, is filling up the building, and so, you know, there's sort of that aspect of it. I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I thought about this. The first year the team was here in Memphis, I did not cover the team at all. So I had zero access and no press credentials, nothing. I was probably one of the 10 or 15 biggest NBA fans of the city of Memphis. I went to like four games because I can only afford to go to like four games. And so I don't tell people how to spend their money because I don't assume they have it to spend. I've been there, you know. I still, like, it's a lot more money
than it was that first year when you couldn't afford it.
If I lived in Memphis and I was not covering the team, I'd go to more games, and I probably wouldn't be a full season ticket holder because I don't know if I, you know, I. And so there's that aspect of it. I will say, when you look at a situation like the Thunder in Oklahoma City, and that is I heard you say that Memphis is the smallest market in the league. I don't know how that is measured, but I don't think the differences are profound from a metro population standpoint, right? And so it's a similar size market. I'm sure the per capita income is probably a little bit higher in Oklahoma City, but I don't think it's like profoundly different, I would guess. But there is a sense in that city, and like Memphis, when the Grizzlies have been hot, like you feel it too. I wrote a little bit about this during the playoffs. But it's not just about like the signs in the windows and all that kind of stuff and people wearing the gear. There, you get the sense there, and I'm sure there are wealthy people in Oklahoma City who don't go to every Thunder game, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like it's like part of citizenship in Oklahoma City is that like if you have the means, you are a season ticket holder to go to the Thunder games, right? It really feels like there's been a decision by the entire city that this is one of the main things that defines us as a city. And part of being an Oklahoma City resident is it fully embracing this thing and not only being interested in it, but putting your money into it. And again, I'm not telling people how to spend the money, but there is a sense that for long-term health of small market franchises, it does almost have to feel like it's part of being in the city. If you have the means, is that that's what you do.
Oh, I think that's right. And it's why, again, I feel queasy about telling people how to spend their money too. Like I sort of indicated that in the column. I think that there is a more people go, it'll feel. It was suggested to me like, okay, it matters more in Memphis than in New Orleans. We think that's true. We say that we say that. Right?
It seems to matter less in Oklahoma City, right? Like there is a continuum there, and to be successful, it needs to be more the Oklahoma City thing.
I agree.
And it does matter. It does matter more. The Grizzlies matter more in Memphis than the Pelicans do in New Orleans. And I think that is palpable.
I think that is absolutely true. But I also think that has to bear out in attendance. You know what I mean? Like we can say it's true, but if it doesn't actually, if they're both drawing 14,000, what does mattering matter? You know what I mean? Like
That's right.
Okay. Now, but here's the problem, though, is that, again, I think Oklahoma City is I don't know what it's like right now in Sacramento or in Charlotte or in any of the small market teams. I don't think it's Oklahoma City level fever pitch. And it was certainly fever pitch here in 2012. The problem, too, though, is that what this does to me. Yes, I think I really think there should be a feeling on the part of the community. And maybe it's more corporate than individual fans that we got to get off our. And go like that. There's something hanging in the balance here. I think that's true. But the other real factor here is the competitiveness of the team, which has nothing to do with crime in the city or the health of the city or the trajectory will matter in this, in what happens over the next 2 years in a way that I think is really significant. And like, attendance was really terrible game, you know, the last game against Oklahoma City, right? And I don't in the playoffs. It wasn't because of crime in the city. It was because people had no hope in the team. They didn't believe in that there was any chance they were going to get a competitive game or anything but a loss, and so nobody showed up to that game. And so I guess I really think that for the future of this franchise, the next 2 years, on-the-court performance may be more important than and maybe not a good time to be that important as they do this competitive shift.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Grizzlies, they're not going to win a title, but I don't think they're going to be a bad team. I think they're going to be a competitive team that's interesting. And if people say, oh, you know, you're only going to be the seventh seed, this right. is not good enough, I think that's a recipe for failure. I don't think I'm reluctant to fully go with you on that. I do think the Grizzlies are the most important thing in terms of, like, entertainment dollar in the city, in terms of most important to the city.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not just the Grizzlies, you know? Memphis doesn't exist anymore, you know? I mean, the Zoo was having stuff, you know, in the last year about issues with attendance and their budget and all of that. I mean, look at the Redbirds, et cetera. I think Memphis got in the habit of not going to stuff. And the Grizzlies are the tip of the spear with that. They're the most important thing, but it's not the only thing.
I agree with that completely. And we mentioned, I mean, it's true in churches, you know, like we mentioned that earlier in the show. Memphis in the habit of not going to stuff. Memphis has to get off the couch and go to stuff. There's no question if they want the stuff to be here and to thrive. I agree completely. I don't think that my bar is playoff. They got to be the three seed or whatever. I do think, though, and there's a lot of things that will go into this mix, of course. I do think it is incumbent on that team to be interesting and competitive and I'll say this. I would set the bar as promising, right? I think it's more important than ever that this season be promising. And you've talked about, you know, there could be a fork in the road at some point, right? That fork in the road, if they were in Chicago, that might be a totally logical competitive response. How do we build this team, even if it's going to be a little rough for the next year and a half around draft picks? Given the timing of the lease and stuff, I actually think there are more perils embedded in that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as simple as, like, one path is good for this concern and the other path is bad. I think either path could be good or bad, depending on how it goes, right?
You got a Cooper flag type player.
If you take the rebuilding path with the number one pick in next summer's draft, then I think people might get excited about that even. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
So I don't – my base thing – get back to, like, I don't tell people how to spend their money.
Yeah.
I do tell people that NBA basketball is good. Like, I've been, that's from the jump. Right. Like, that's been my thing. I don't encourage people to do anything. Like, I don't, like, almost anything I write. I don't want to tell people how to think about stuff. People can think for themselves. But I do, from the jump, I've tried to convey that this is an interesting thing worth being interested in, which I think is always true. And so I try in writing and talking and whatever, I convey my own honest interest in the thing as something worthy of attendance and contemplation and time and the whole shebang. And I think that's true. And I don't think that's going to not be true if, like, you know, they win 42 games. It'll be more true if they win 52.
I agree completely about that. I think it is. But, I mean, let's be honest. It is less interesting 2 years ago. Nobody's fault. It's less interesting 2 years ago. It's less interesting if Ja doesn't play. You know, it just is. It's less interesting. If Ja doesn't play, my point is there's a lot of factors that will go into this that nobody has any control over. I actually think this year could be a super interesting year. Like, I'm interested in Ja's, you know, whatever this year is going to look like, whether he's going to, you know, reassert himself as one of the most charismatic dominant players in the league. I'm really interested in Zach Edey when he gets back, what that's going to look like. I'm interested in a full year of Tomas Isolo. I'm interested in Cedric Coward. I think it's a really interesting year. I mean, you think, you know, do you not? I think there's a lot of things that are intriguing.
I think it's a super interesting team. Like, you know, it's not a team that's in the highest tier of playoff expectation, like, you know, with the Thunder and with the Cavs. But it's closer to the top than the bottom as far as that goes, I think. There's actually an interesting thing. So I subscribe to this Substack. This guy named Jeremias Engelman, who used to be in the front office for the Mavs. He developed the rate-adjusted plus-minus stat for ESPN when he worked for ESPN.
Yeah.
And he's got a Substack now that's like a wonky NBA Substack. And so he did a thing, and I haven't seen whether he put the second part up today. He did it in two parts. But he was ranking every team, counting down 30-1 in terms of title potential over the next 10 years. Like, how many titles could you win, right, expected to win over the next 10 years? Like, the number might be 0.2 or whatever, but, like, yep, it's that. He did not have the Grizzlies in the first part of that column, 30 down to 16. So they're the top 15 in that column. So if they're, you know, and I think that's a reasonable thing to say. And so if they're not the best positioned team in the league in terms of competitiveness and interest, they're in the upper half, you know? Like, it's not a bad thing to have. No. Only 28 cities yeah. have these teams at all. And you've got an interesting one in this city. Like, I just, to me, it's not a thing to take for granted.
No, you've got and one that, by the way, I think we probably do, people do, some do take for granted how good they have been over their 25 years here. You know, they've really,
they have exceeded average outcomes.
Yeah. And they've never had a particularly long period of being woeful, you know, of hopeless. Nope. There was, you know, I guess the period after the period before the core four got here, I guess that was the most, was that the most, yeah, that was because after that, then you had a very quick dip and then Ja arrived. So the only real period of being woeful was the period between Mike Fratello and
that was not long.
3 years?
That was not long in NBA rebuilding circles. You got teams like the Kings are bad for 10 years. You know, when the last time the Hornets were good?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with all that. All right, Chris, I'm going to talk to Sam about it next. We'll talk about your film. Chris has a piece up about the film scene in Memphis. We'll talk to him more about it tomorrow. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You know what's not leaving? O'Call's not leaving.
No way. And
if you're as good as O'Call is, you can be here for as long as O'Call has been. And I'm a testament that it is funny to think about. I used to sit next to George Lapidus, and he used to tell me about O'Call, and he would rap, he would wax rhapsodic about O'Call, about a particular sweater. And I'm like, how could it be that a particular piece of clothing could move you to poetry? And then I started shopping at O'Call, and not only did it completely transform, the way I look in the world, I now understood. You got the Breck slacks that I wear, the most comfortable pants I've ever worn that make me look great. They're just unbelievably great. You get this. I put on, every time I go to a wedding or an event, I put on one of the sport coats that I've gotten from O'Call, selected with, honestly, a little nudging from them. This would look great on you. And I feel like truly $1 million. The people are incredibly helpful. The clothes are beautiful. The level of, service is unmatched anywhere. They literally do there. It's not just that they have their tailors on site. Of course they do. They also have the people who do the alterations right there on site. It is shopping the way that it used to be and the way that it is meant to be. Beautiful clothes, unbelievably helpful people. This would be a great weekend. We got fall coming up. You got football Saturdays coming up. Look good at the tailgate. Get yourself to see our friends at O'Call. All right, Sam Hardiman had the two stories yesterday about the Grizzlies financing that have sparked this entire conversation. So we'll talk to Sam about it when we return. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. Broke the story yesterday about the ongoing lease negotiations between the city of Memphis and the Memphis Grizzlies. Excellent reporting. Sam certainly have sparked a lot of conversation across the city. And I urge people to read both pieces that are up at the Daily Memphian. You don't have to just take our word for it on what is said here. Go read the pieces themselves. But Sam, can you just, for those who haven't read them yet, can you give us the essence? Summarize the story to the best you can here in a moment.
Sure. First, thanks for the nice words, Jeff. I appreciate it. How to summarize it?
What's the essence?
Succinctly.
Yeah.
The essence of the story is. First, I want to establish, like, no one is really keen to talk about this. And so no one agreed to talk on the record for our story. And so we chose people familiar with the matter, which means, like, people who are involved in this process, we spoke with and gave them anonymity so they would talk about it, so the public could know something. So first, like, that's what I want to establish. And then next, we got financial documents. We had been, for some time, essentially asking the city of Memphis to show us how FedEx Forum is going to be paid for. There were a bunch of approvals that the city, you know, obviously famously got a ton of cash from the state of Tennessee for which is being split between Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, and FedEx Forum. Show us how that's going to be used. Show how these various taxes that have been approved for the future into the 2050s, how it's going to be used and what it's going to actually fetch. And so we finally got those documents back. And what it paints as a picture is that there isn't a ton of money to get to the $550 million in proposed FedEx Forum renovations. And the really only pathway there is not to borrow a bunch of money really quickly. And that probably lessens the scope of the renovations. But it also is sort of inserted. I don't want to say insert. I'm going to be careful here. But it's made clear that the deal that is being used to keep the Grizzlies here is significantly less than what many other small market teams are getting right now. And it kind of establishes that fact and establishes that there is a real willingness of the franchise to be here and to take that deal. And what is the holdup in that deal being accepted in a second lease extending the team here beyond 2029 is the condition of the Grizzlies neighborhood, which is downtown. And so that's, I think, the best summary I can give it. Okay. And I hope I made some sense.
Yeah. A couple things. So it's interesting because when they came up, I mean, we've sort of known that $550 million isn't the same as a billion, right? They're spending $1 billion in Oklahoma City on a new arena. They're spending $550 million. And we've all been like, isn't it nice that Grizzlies are willing to take $550 million as opposed to a billion? And whatever the arena is going to cost in San Antonio that seems to be on the way, and whatever the arena might cost in Portland that may be on the way, and whatever else. But what's interesting to me and really revealing that I don't think I did fully appreciate, and I don't think most of the listeners did either, is that $550 million is nothing close to a big pot of money that will be presented to the Grizzlies. Go knock yourself out. Do what you need to do with the building. It really comes in, and I won't go through, but it comes in dribs and drabs over how many years?
I mean, it could be between 7 and 12 years, right? Like, it really, and there's a lot of flexibility. Like, at some point, you could issue debt, you know, on for this project and get a bunch of cash quickly. But keep in mind, there's also 200 plus million, essentially, being waiting to be spent right now, right? That's cash on hand from the state of Tennessee, right? So and $80 million of it has been allocated. So, like, and because the work is going so slowly, because these renovations are kind of starting, right? Like, what's not really been advertised is this $550 million is starting to be spent, right? Without a lease right now. Like, and the city has essentially allocated $80 million without a lease, you know, that the Grizzlies would probably say is needed under the existing lease. But, like, yeah, this is really coming very slowly. And so it's not, to your point exactly, it's not some big glossy thing. It's really like a series of payments of what could be 7 to 12 years.
So the way that the story, well, in a way, this seems like this is great for the city, that they aren't going to have to issue debt and the money's going to be much more expensive. This is a way for them to responsibly pay this for the renovations for this arena in a way that for a city that doesn't have a lot of extra cash knocking around makes this practical and feasible as a way to as a way to spend the money. On the other hand, typically when you present the big pot of money, you get a lease that is a long-term 30, 40-year lease that is pretty ironclad. Like, isn't there, I guess, if this works out well and the Grizzlies stay over the long term, we will say this was good for the city. But there's more peril here, isn't there, because of the way that it is structured and the flexibility. The flexibility for the city helps the city. The flexibility for the Grizzlies represents peril for the city. Is that not fair?
I mean, I would say, like, yeah, to get into the gritty detail of it, yeah, I mean, in some of the financing documents we've seen, there's essentially language that says, you know, this proposal is considered in part because it would allow there to be less debt that would have to be paid off, presumably under a condition, and this lease has not been agreed to, but maybe there are broad strokes maybe agreed to, but, and I'm speculating here, but, like, the Grizzlies would have to pay some money on those bonds to leave Memphis, right, under the renovation, right? But if they're essentially what's happening here is without that, there's not really, you know, a big penalty. So, yeah, there's some peril. Like, it's like consideration of the Grizzlies would leave early, but I wouldn't say it's like the Grizzlies have given no indication that they would leave early, right? Like, they are, like, very intent. Like, our reporting shows that they're very intent on staying here at this time, right? So, I want to say that. So,
yeah,
there's peril. It's just what it shows is, like, We're not talking about an ironclad 30 years. I think you put well, you know, yesterday. Like, we're talking about an uncertain future that is sort of like weighing, you know, it's kind of, as you said yesterday, correlated to the future of Memphis. Like, that's really what's being considered right now.
Yeah, I just got a text from Travis Greer pointing out that, listen, the original lease had hit it out clauses too. And that's true. But the original lease, honestly, was pretty ironclad through 15 years, and then it had enormous payments that would have had to been made to pay off the arena and penalty clauses and other things that made it, at least for 15 years, pretty ironclad, and has made it very difficult for them to escape, except for the early termination clause that you and I both reported on back in 2020. So this would be a different sort of a lease. I do want to underline the point that you just made, though. Everyone is working towards this as if they want it to happen. I think, you know, people get so terrified about things that they lose sight of that. And it's a point I made in my column, but it's a point I've certainly, that Jason Wexler doesn't lead tours, the ones that you first reported on a couple of years ago, I think, of the area around FedEx Forum because for any other reason that he wants it to be better, because he wants the team to flourish and thrive. Like, there's nothing on either side here that makes you think they are approaching this other than that they want to figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say, right? Like, I think that's what I found in my reporting. Like, I'm talking to the people that are involved in this and, like, working, like, a lot of people that are involved in this. And it's very much like there are problems, but, like, it's, two parties right now in this moment in time continuing to work towards those, you know, for mutual benefit, right? And
why doesn't anybody talk? Well, do you have any theories about why doesn't, like, neither side, like, you did all this incredible reporting with documents and anonymous sources, and nobody has really ever talked much. I guess the mayor has had a quote or two here, I think, a couple of years. Jason Wexler, you got a statement from the Grizzlies about the neighborhood, what, a year ago? Like, but no one says anything.
18
about
months ago. 18, yeah. About 18 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do know, and I want to, I'm going to answer your question because it's a fair one. I think the public deserves to hear it. It answer. I think it's, honestly, there is a reluctance, I would say, I think, on all parties to advertise that this isn't done to the outside world.
Right.
Right, like it is much more of not wanting the in the broader world to, like, be talking about the sports world, you know, the sports business world, to be talking about, hey, why isn't that lease done to Memphis? You know, and let's go poke around the couch cushions in Memphis and see what's going on. you know, and do we want a team here? Because all of a sudden, expansion in the NBA doesn't seem like a sure thing, right? And you have these markets out there that want a team. And I think that is, like, there's a reluctance, I think, collectively, because there's fear of that, because everyone who is at the table right now is working towards resolution that keeps the team in Memphis. There's a lack of wanting to signal weakness to the outside world, is what I would say.
By the way, that in and of itself is telling. Like, if this notion is that by talking about the possible vulnerability of the franchise, you actually create more vulnerability on the part of the franchise because it creates this impression to the outside world that this team is gettable. So therefore, we're just going to keep it under wraps and we're not going to talk about it a lot. Whether that actually is how the world works or not is one thing. I actually think there's something to that. But what's interesting to me is that the fact that they then don't talk about it reveals that they do want the team to stay here. In other words, if that is a fear, oh no, by talking about this, we're going to make us more vulnerable, that establishes that they really do are operating from a place of wanting the team to stay here, right? I mean, and I find that comforting in a weird way, because there's a lot of times where teams will advertise their availability, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think like what to watch for, right, is like right now that's the situation, right? Like, this is the situation. This is the conciliatory situation among all sides, right? And I think, like, if that changes, that will be interesting, right? And also, everyone has been loath to have this in public. They don't want...
Right, they don't want this.
You know, they don't want literally this conversation right now on radio, right? And so, like, that's where we are. And, like, what I would say is, like, I think, like, look, the world is a pretty sharp place. And, you know, I think... it's probably not lost. Like, I mean, like Stephen A. Smith, you know, talking about Memphis on national TV is more of a red flag in a story like this. Right. And so at the same time, like it's a really like, because it becomes about, you know, how does downtown Memphis change? How does perception of downtown Memphis change? Can the, you know, Memphis has really had a crime, you know, wave peak and fall over the past 5 years, you know, collectively as a city. You know, things got worse in the election year 2023. That was like the worst year on record, a terrible year, almost 400 homicides in the city. Right. And perception of Memphis and downtown Memphis has suffered since the pandemic. As someone who's worked downtown and now lives downtown, like, it is not the same place I worked in 2019, right, before the pandemic. And so I think, like, whether or not this works out over the long haul, I think might be just come down to that. Like, how is this going to look? How is Memphis going to look? And how is that perception going to change going forward?
Chris asked me yesterday, and I know this came up on the podcast as well. I urge people to go listen to the podcast over at the Daily Memphian that you did with Chris and Drew, in addition to reading the stories. But he asked me, in the end, they got to sign a lease, right? If you're going to keep spending the money, at some point, they got to sign the lease. And presumably, Memphis won't be a thriving downtown metropolis by that point. And then they'll also see how it goes from there. They'll sign the lease. I presume there will be out clauses in the lease or things that, you know, if the city spirals down the drain, that you're not going to keep an NBA team forever. That's just the reality. So, but what metrics are there that need to be achieved in order to get over that first threshold of, okay, we feel comfortable signing the lease, beyond the lease negotiations themselves? Is that ill-defined? Do people, do you think, on both sides of this know what that looks like? Is it simply process of working towards goals, or is it some evidence of the goals in reduction of crime or something else being achieved? What's going to cause them to say, okay, we feel comfortable signing a lease?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that question. You know, that's a place I don't think people were really willing to go,
right?
You know, because, you know, like, I, in my reporting, you know, asking these people, talking to these people, you know, multiple times, you know, calling them back, right?
Right.
I was asking, like, you know, look, like, we're allocating state cash right now. We don't have a lease. Some of this work could be considered under the existing lease, right? But, like, once $80 million gets spent, once $100 million gets spent, where's the line of, like, you're probably like, where is the line? And that's really unclear too. And so also, I just want to say something about, like, you know, if it's a matter of the team paying money to get out of here. Robert Parra has the money for that.
Right.
Okay. Like the ownership group has the money for that. So like we pointed this out in our reporting, like it's not a real barrier today. Like there's not really a monetary barrier today, you know? And so going forward, like any monetary barrier that would be put forward probably isn't a real one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really going to be about the place. And like, I think the question that needs to get answered is the question you just asked, which is what are the metrics? And maybe it's an amorphous thing because you're really talking about like a city, like, you know, like if the city hits what certain percentage of what, you know, and for how long, like how do you do that? You know? And so I think it's a really tough question. It's one that's probably got
to
be answered.
What I wonder is, I get that no one is willing to tell you what the metrics are. I wonder even if they know what the metrics are. In other words, does the city know, or does the Grizzlies, is one of these, I'll know it when I see it. Like, or is it going to come down to something as pedestrian as attendance? But it's one thing to not, it's hard to work towards a goal if you don't know what the goal specific, what you're trying to achieve. And so I wonder if the city knows if we do these five things by this date, then they will sign the lease. Or if it's just like, if we look up and it's 6 months and it feels safer, then we'll feel comfortable. Because that's a pretty amorphous thing to work towards.
Yeah, again.
That's not a question.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think it's a great question. That's all I got for you.
All right, Sam. By the way, does the future of Beale Street, not to bring in anything else, tie into this? Like, how is that related to all of this?
I mean, look at the Grizzlies. One on the record comment in the past 18 months has been about their neighborhood. What is their immediate next door? You know, Beale Street. What does Jason Wexler take people to tours of largely? Beale Street, right? And so, like that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is a big matter in this. I think just what does all of downtown look like, right? Like, I would say to people, you know, Eric Barnes, our publisher, has Behind the Headlines, and he had Doug McGowan on, and I was on there with him, Doug McGowan, the CEO of MLGW, and we asked, you know, Doug about kind of the future of that building, because the MLGW building is, you know, prime real estate right across from Beale Street, right? And McGowan committed to being in downtown and said essentially that they await the Memphis City Council and Mayor Young saying if there's a use for the building, right? Like, that's what he said on public access television. Like, so, like, they're not glued to that building.
Right.
MLGW, the functions of MLGW headquarters can be in any office building, probably downtown, right? It's not running critical systems, largely, okay? So, like, that's something looking forward, right? Like, I'm not trying to foreshadow here or anything, but those are the things at bay. Like, what lever, if you think about improving downtown Memphis, what levers do you have left to pull? But probably the MLGW site and rehabbing Beale Street,
right,
particularly if one. Like, but, and then the vacant lot between AutoZone Park and FedEx Forum,
right?
Like, those are the levers to be pulled, and whether the private sector or the public sector is going to do it is unclear, right? But like, if downtown's going to improve, that's bad. But I'll put up, you know, beyond it's like cleanliness and police presence in there. It was a huge stepped up police presence on game days last year, right? And also, like, we're talking almost about the city. Like, I don't cover sports, but doesn't the team success have a role?
It absolutely does. I think it has absolutely. Again, it's not all that, because we've seen Tigers attendance down, Grizzlies attendance, I mean, right across the zoo attendance down. But it's unquestionably a part of it. Sam, great reporting. I really appreciate it. Thanks. Appreciate you coming on every week. Thanks very much. Read the pieces over at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, Sam. We're going to take a break here in a moment. We had big news from the University of Memphis we're going to get to just in a moment. I will remind you that if you are selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty are the folks to call. Josh has the buyers.com. It is a tricky market out there. And so you might be thinking about a cash offer, but if you're thinking about accepting a cash offer, don't take one of those unsolicited instant cash offers. Listen, they're convenient. There's no question. You don't have to fix up your house. You don't have to have showings. You have all that nonsense. But they're going to lowball you. Josh Heisa will not. He's going to come out. He's going to tell you what your house is worth. And then give you up to 4 months to hand over the keys. Simple, easy. And it's a local guy who is not going to try to lowball you. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Josh has the buyers.com. Back with the University of Memphis news here in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Frank Bonner with a story over the Daily Memphian that the FedEx has, well, the Memphis released that they have transitioned their NIL agreement with FedEx to a sponsorship agreement. And as part of it, there's going to be FedEx logos in the end zone, Jeffrey.
All right. I believe it's the first of any kind.
First ever kind. So unprecedented. FedEx continues to step up. My understanding is they sweetened the pot. But what really was happening here is the money used to be an NIL money, right? Now the money is going to come in as sponsorship money because now you can pay athletes directly. Yep. And so that's how they are funding the revenue sharing, the 20 point, whatever it is, 5 million. I don't know. They've never said how much they're going to release this year. My understanding is it's not quite the full 20, but it's a lot. And so that's where the money is going to come from. It's at a place like Alabama, they do the 20.5 million and then they do NIL over and above. Memphis doesn't have enough money to do that. So the FedEx money is now going to be sponsorship money that comes directly into the athletic department, which is funding the revenue sharing. And it's a tremendous deal for the university and for FedEx. And you're going to have the logo in the end zone. What's coming up next, Jeffrey?
Coach Hurt joins the guys on Jason and John. Kevin Cerrito with me today. CJ Hurt joins us during hour number two. Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow with Kevin Cerrito, the birthday boy. But for now, our work's done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.